As you can see, summer church is a pretty relaxed affair. So you find us as you find us. Where have you all come from? It's quite extraordinary. The first reading today is going to be from the book of Isaiah. Could you pass me my clicky thing, dear? Would that be right? Isaiah chapter 58, starting at the 11th verse. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and strengthen your frame. Hallelujah. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. Our second reading is taken from the book of Romans. Thank you very much indeed. That's so lovely. Brilliant. Chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. Are you all ready? Good. Wonderful. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace by which we now stand. Did you get that? Brilliant. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering, how many people like suffering? No. Produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom He has given to us. You see, just at the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we now have been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only this, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church? Wonderful. Why don't we stand? We usually stand for the gospel reading in our first service, so you're more than welcome to stand just as a mark of respect for our more traditional form. Hear the Holy Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter. I think, well, it's not the first chapter, isn't it? It's the 24th chapter. That's right. I wrote this. I've got this wrong. The 24th chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles out of Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. Just as they had talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus Himself came up and walked alongside with them. But they were kept from recognizing Him. He asked them, What are you discussing as you're walking along together? They stood still, their faces were downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" Jesus says. "About Jesus of Nazareth," he replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people." Did you notice they called him a prophet? "The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they didn't see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. I'm going to stop the gospel reading there. This is the gospel of Christ. Wonderful. Take your seat. Anyone would think I'm on holiday.
You're not.
I'm not. Well, friends, good morning to you. Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you all. Something happened in 1997, at the beginning of the year in 1997. A man called Tony Bullimore, and I will turn my thingy on. A man called Tony Bullimore was in a round-the-world yacht race. And on roughly the 5th of January, he lost the keel of his yacht, and it spun upside down. He was in the water and up inside the boat for 4 or 5 days. And this is what the press say. He said it was like heaven. 4 days after his yacht capsized in the icy vastness of the Southern Ocean, Tony Bullimore savored the joys of rescue on the 9th of January 1997. The round-the-world yachtsman was plucked from the sea at 1 o'clock in the morning by an Australian frigate. I think it was 1 o'clock in the morning, English time. Mr. Bullimore, whose boat capsized in mountainous waves on Sunday, 900 miles from Antarctica and 1,400 miles off the Australian coast, admitted that he had almost given up hope when a diver banged on the side of the hull of his yacht yesterday. Cowering in pitch darkness in a makeshift hammock, he survived through sheer determination and nibbles of chocolate. I started shouting, "I'm coming, I'm coming!" He took a few seconds to get from one end of the boat to the other. Then I took a few deep breaths and I dived out of the boat. When I saw the ship standing there and the plane going overhead and a couple of guys peering over the top of the upturned hull, it was heaven. Absolute heaven. The question probably we need to ask ourselves is, why did Tony Bullimore survive for so long? And I think it was because he had not given up hope. So friends, welcome to Summer Church. 2020 was a bit of a year, wasn't it? It's a bit of a year that some of us sort of gave up hope of ever meeting together again. Many will feel that we've had a year stolen from us and we'll never be able to get it back. And we're longing for normality to return. And actually, there are many people, many millions of people who would be longing to do what we're doing right now. We're very, very fortunate in this country. There's always been a desire for us to get something back that was taken from us. We've always tried to recapture the past. Actually, I was in a conversation with someone recently saying that actually retro clothes, people tend to want to buy the clothes from the previous generation to try and recapture something of what, of those golden years that they imagine them to be. Some restore old cars. Ian Goodwin. Some will restore furniture. Some will buy an old villa and restore it to its former glories. And many hours and many dollars are spent on this desire to restore. And people are captured by a vision of what could be. So they concentrate their efforts on a restoration project. Well, this season, we're on a restoration project. We're going to be looking at spiritual restoration, because God is in the business of restoring lives. We have a role in the restorative work of God in creation. Let's read this together. You will be called repairer of broken down walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. This is a call on the people of God. And it is with the same diligence that we have to look at the restoring project of our own life. We need to attend to our spiritual life. Because if we don't, we won't advance. We will become restorer of other things once we ourselves have become restored. Now, the good news is that God loves you as you are, but he also loves you enough not to keep you as you are. He wants to transform your lives. The fact of the matter is, you are and never will be good enough for God. Your behavior will never be good enough. But because of Jesus' death and resurrection, you have been counted worthy. His love overcomes our imperfections. You and I need constant restoring. You were bought at a price. He lost his life for you, Jesus, in order that you might gain his life in you. And God wants to restore your life. Not back to what you have had before, maybe your former energies or strengths or your earlier years. No. The Lord says, see, I am doing a new thing. So God wants to rebuild you and restore you into what he has intended for you to be since the beginning of time. Not what you want to be, but what he's created you to be. Let's have a little look at this and read this. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and will give you a heart of flesh. This is a restoration project. Our heart is a restoration project. That is the very essence of the restoring work of God. So in this series, we'll be looking at some of the facets of our spiritual restoration. We're going to be looking at hope, wonder, justice, faith, and love. All these things are facets within our lives that we must look to restore with the cooperation of God. And this week, we're going to be looking at restoring hope. Now, all of us hope for things. I'm sure that you've probably said, well, I hope the weather's going to be better today. I hope I win the lottery. The key, by the way, to winning the lottery is actually buying a lottery ticket to put yourself in the draw, but I'm saying please don't, because it's a waste of money. Feed your family, don't waste it on luck. I hope I get a job soon. I hope, quite literally, I hope my knee gets better soon. Why do we hope in such a way? Have you ever thought, where does your hope come from? Why do you hope? It's part of our being, part of our makeup, that we are hopeful people. Most of our hope, actually, most things that we hope for, is actually for our pleasure. However, most of the time, we hope with no sense of power to be able to make that which we hope for come to pass. I hope the weather's better tomorrow. Well, there's nothing you can do about it. By the way, there is. Have a look at Elijah. You doubt me? Okay, I'll tell you a quick story. I'm digressing, but I'll tell you a quick story. In our last parish, we used to do what we call a fun day. And we'd invite 800 people would come, and there'd be slides and swings and great music and a little gospel presentation. And one year, the rain clouds came. And so all these visitors were there, and we were all looking pretty miserable. And I just thought, this can't happen. So I said, everybody, whether you believe it or not, just stand with me now, and I'm going to pray. And I prayed that the rain would stop. Within 5 minutes, the rain stopped, and it was clear for the rest of the day. But all around us, in the surrounding suburbs, it rained. Why don't we take this thing seriously? It woke a lot of people up when it stopped raining. But most of our hoping is more wishful thinking than actual hope. As Christians, we're called to be a people marked by an attitude of hope. But this hope of the Christian is of a completely different order than wishful thinking. Let's have a look at that. Our hope is based in what has been. The reason we have communion today is to remember what happened in the past and to bring it into our present. It secures our eternal and future hope, but it is something that has happened. Jesus has died. Jesus has risen. Jesus will come again. God made man, died for humanity. He died your death. This has happened, and it is that in which we place our hope. We ourselves must restore our own full trust in the death of Jesus for all people and for ourselves. This is the solid foundation by which we live. God paid it all. Our hope is more than wishful thinking. It is a solid foundation that death has been defeated and that we must hope in the resurrection of the dead through the firstborn from the dead is Jesus. There are some parts of the church today that have lost their hope in the resurrection. There was an Anglican church about 4 years ago. The minister got on the radio and said, on Easter Day, the resurrection never happened. Friends, if we do not hope in the resurrection, we might as well be hopeless. Let's read this together, if you can. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have also fallen asleep are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For the believer, there is hope beyond the grave, because Jesus Christ has opened the door for heaven by his death and resurrection. Billy Graham. What an extraordinary statement. But it is that which we hope for. If we recover and restore our hope and confidence in what has happened, it therefore must lead to what is to come. You see, if we just hope in what's happened, we remain unbalanced. We must also hope in that which will be restored completely for us at the end of all time. I was having a chat with Ian Simpson the other day, and he said, oh, yes, hope, yes, yes. He said, Walter Brueggemann said that faith is for today, but hope is for tomorrow. We hope in that which is to come. Our hope is built on a future promise based on our present experience. He also said this, hope is faith about the future. The God whom we know to be faithful in the present is the God whom we know will keep the future and will keep it safely for us. Hebrews chapter 6 says, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Hope is secured through faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing else. All other ground is sinking sand, friends. The gospel contains the promise of something more to come. That is the thing that gets us up in the morning. That is the thing that fuels our worship. to them in Colossians. God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of the mystery of God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our glory is to come. This is something glorious that we cling onto. This is the thing that excites the soul of the Christian. That, friends, that we must cling onto a glorious future as well as a splendid past. Hope is the thing that we are marked out by. We also know, friends, that hope does not disappoint us. Romans chapter 5. I've got my PowerPoint completely all wrong, so you'll just have to ignore me. Romans chapter 5. If we boast in the hope of the glory of God, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character produces hope. In other words, friends, the Christian life will be difficult. But actually, if we sustain our hope, it will grow in God. Hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Hope is secured by experiencing the love of God. And friends, over this next year, what I would like to see is more of us pushing in to the things of God, knowing that His commitment is to bring transformation in our lives. You cannot transform yourself. God can. So when we have ministry times, come up. We want to pray for you. We want to see you transformed. We want to see you more hopeful. We want to see us infused and enthused with hope. Isaiah 40 says that hope also gives us strength. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Friends, if you're feeling weak and weary, watch where you have placed your hope. For those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. So, I say this every year, but the way that you can renew your strength and gain strength is every morning. How many people have breakfast? How many people have lunch? How many people have dinner? Cool, you like eating, don't you? Why do you eat? Because you know it fuels your body, don't you? It fuels you to sustain you to live. Friends, there is spiritual food that we must feast on as well. So read your Bible. Read the Bible in 1 year, if that's what you're into. But read the Bible every single day. It is the most important nourishing spiritual food that will ever fill you. Because when you know the truth of God, your hope will rise. Don't live off a Sunday sermon. Live off the living Word of God every day. Our job up here is just to prod and encourage you to keep going. Your job is to feed yourself. You will find hope rising. And as you find hope rising, you find that you'll become an agent of hope. The gospel is about hope, the hope of restoration. The two on the Emmaus Road talking to Jesus said, we had hoped that he would be the one who would come to redeem Israel. Duh! He is the one who redeemed Israel. Not only that, all of humanity. It is right to place your hope in him, but he is not a prophet. He is the Messiah. He is the one who's died for you. And therefore, we become agents. We spread the news. There are more people in this community and in New Zealand. There are people who are losing hope. I had a conversation with someone on the door of the office yesterday. He knocked on the door and he said, my niece has just committed suicide. And I don't know what to do. I need to get to the funeral. So we helped him. But friends, you commit suicide when you lose hope. We have some of the highest suicide rates in the OECD. especially among young men. Friends, they give up hope because they do not know the hope that there is. So therefore, let's become bold and brave this year. Let's talk about Jesus, the hope of our lives. You can become an agent of hope. Restored hope within you is giving and sharing that hope with others. God has not forgotten the lost. But have we? Just like Tony Bullimore surviving in an upturned yacht, is your hope secure today? Have you set it firmly in the foundation of faith in Jesus Christ? Or is your hope just wishful thinking? God is for you and not against you. Let's restore our hope in the Lord. Let's stand, shall we? Let's do business with God, shall we? There might be some of us here who do not know this hope that there is in Jesus. And I want to give you an opportunity to say, I want this hope. So I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer to welcome Jesus into your life that he may give you hope. Lord God, here I am. I want the hope that you give. Lord, I recognize in my life that I am without hope just because of the choices that I've made. But Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died in order that I might have hope. You died for my sin and the things that I have done wrong. And so I offer you, Lord, the tatters and the shattered pieces of my life. And I give them to you. And in return, Lord, I receive your life. Thank you for dying for me. I welcome you into my life today. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will restore my hope. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you've prayed that prayer, I'd love for you to come and have a little chat with me afterwards, because that means probably you've just become a Christian, which is great. But I'm going to pray one more prayer for us to shore up our hope in Christ. Father, we come to you recognizing, Lord, that sometimes we have lost our vision of what you've called us to be. We have set our hope in other things other than you. We pray, Lord, that you would come and restore hope in Jesus in us. What you have done and where you have called us to fix our vision. Lord, we know that you will return. And we know that you are living in us. We pray, Lord, that you would lift our vision. In Jesus' name, amen.